Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for me, it's a very bittersweet day. It was 50 months ago that the Lord blessed me with the opportunity to come and minister with you. And you've grown dear to me. And I thank God every day, just about, for you all. See, I'm on the Birmingham, so it's y'all. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to preach yet one more time for you in a sort of a farewell message. And as I wrestled with what I would open up unto us, I was struggling between Psalm 103 and John 17. And I said, well, we'll sing Psalm 103, and I won't mess that up. And I trust that God's Spirit will enable me to set before us the heart of our Savior and what he's doing for us, even now. As we direct our attention to John chapter 17, most commentators will tell you, in their opinion, this is perhaps the greatest chapter in the 66 books of the Bible. And I'm tempted to go back and look at Treasury of David by Spurgeon and see how many psalms he says, this is the best psalm. This is because that's what he said about 103. But you know, the scriptures record this one long psalm of Jesus, or one long prayer of Jesus. So we might think of the other prayers of Jesus as kind of staccatos. Even that prayer that he offered in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you look at the verses in Matthew and in Luke, you'll find 18 words, and you'll find 14 words, and you'll find 15 words. Those are kind of the longest prayers of Jesus until we come to John chapter 17. And as we look at John chapter 17, most of us in our Bibles, there are divisions already specified. And we can see in the first five verses, they're attributed to Jesus praying for himself. And you notice in verses 6 through 19, we have Jesus praying for the 11, for the apostles, perhaps the 12, including Matthias. But it's in verses 20 through 26 that I gain the title for the sermon, Jesus' Prayer for Us. And we'll be directing our attention primarily to that portion of the prayer this morning. But we have the privilege of hearing Jesus' prayer for us as John recorded it in this 17th chapter of his gospel. And so let's listen once again to how John recorded that prayer of Jesus in the farewell account in John's gospel of his words to his disciples, the apostles. Hear now what God would say to us. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, Glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. So I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine is yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. For they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and declare that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. The grass withers, and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Why is it that I entitled the sermon this morning, Jesus' Prayer for Us? Well, I trust you see it as plainly as I do in that 20th verse which I read. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, This prayer is for you. This prayer is for the saints of the Grace Presbyterian Church here in State College. But we all know that this prayer is not just for the saints who are members of Grace Presbyterian Church because you believe in Jesus. We know that this prayer of Jesus is for every person who has believed upon Him and who will believe upon Him since His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and coronation at the right hand of God the Father, where He now is enthroned, praying this prayer for all of us who believe in His name. And He says, who believe in His name through the word of the apostles, through the word of those men that the Holy Spirit inspired that they would write Matthew through Revelation. And perhaps some of you here this morning did indeed come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior through the reading of the New Testament, some portion of it, or you heard that word proclaimed out of Matthew through Revelation. But if you're like I am, it wasn't that New Testament part of God's Word that the Holy Spirit ultimately used in my life to make the gospel real, but it was that little verse in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. For all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And so we have to understand when Jesus is speaking about we've come to believe in Him through their word, that He's not limiting to the words of the apostles. None of us heard those words. None of us were alive when they were on the earth. But we have their books. We hear them speak. But it's not just the 27 books of the New Testament that reveal to us Jesus. It's those 66 books, Genesis through Revelation, that set before us the Lord Jesus. And what a privilege it is for you, Lord's Day after Lord's Day of the evening, to come and hear your minister opening up those Old Testament books and showing you Jesus. Oh, how I encourage you to be back in the evening. And if you can't be back, at least come on Zoom. Because He's setting before us the one in whom we believe. And our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will only be enhanced as we get to know Him better and better and better. But the question is, how do we know? How do we know the rest of the message will direct our attention to what Jesus prays for us. To what Jesus prays for us. Jesus prays that we would be one. Verse 21, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. He reiterates this oneness in verses 22 and 23, that they may be one, just as we are one. Be made perfect in one. And then the last four words of our passage. And I in them. Wherein rests our oneness? Does our oneness rest in the fact that we belong to the same denomination? Does our oneness rest in the fact that we are of the same ethnic group? Does our oneness rest in the fact that we are of the same economic strata or the same educational level? Or on and on and on and on I could go, citing all of the ways that the world seeks to bring us together as one, trying to take the variety of onenesses and make us really one. But the way that Jesus Christ speaks about our being one is what he says in those last four words of this chapter. And I in them. How will we know? How will we know if Jesus truly is in us? Isn't that the question that this passage begs? We're to be one? We're going to be one how? If he's in us? How are we going to be one if Jesus is? How will we know if Jesus is in us? In verse 22, he says, in the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Jesus says God gave him glory, and he then gave us glory. How will we know if he has given us glory? Well, we have to first of all understand, how did Jesus glorify his Father when he was here on earth? How did Jesus glorify his Father when he was here on this earth? And one commentator pointed it out that there are at least three ways that he glorified his Father when he was here on this earth. He glorified his Father by going to the cross. He glorified his Father by going to the cross. And why did he go to the cross? And how in his going to the cross did he glorify the Father? Well, there are a myriad of ways that he glorified the Father by going to the cross. And there are a myriad of ways that his going to the cross impacts us. But one of the reasons that Jesus Christ glorifies the Father by going to the cross is he becomes the propitiation for those who believe in him. That's a big word. And we don't use it in everyday language. But Jesus Christ is praying for us that we would appreciate that he is the propitiation for our sins. Now, what does it mean for him to be the propitiation for our sins? It means that he bore the wrath of his Father that all of us who were born into this world as his enemies, that Jesus would shed his blood for. Because you see, God doesn't just hate sin. Surprise! We sing in Psalm 5, God hates the workers of iniquity. Jesus Christ, in being a propitiation for the sins of God's elect, is so that we, who are chosen by God and demonstrate that by belief in Him, recognize we're now objects of His love and not His wrath. Do we think about that? Day after day after day. For God so loved the world. That's what we think, isn't it? At what cost? At what cost? That God would love you and me. At what cost? That He would take the wrath that we deserve. He, on the cross, glorifies the Father by being the propitiation for us. And then He says to us, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow Me. When we awaken in the morning, do we take up the cross? When we awaken in the morning, do we think of the fact that God's wrath was poured out on Jesus Christ so that His love could abound upon me? Now, there are a myriad of things that come to mind when we think about taking up the cross. That great exchange that took place as Jesus took the wrath of His Father. He becomes sin by taking our sin upon Himself. And then in His shedding of His blood, we then through Him become the righteousness of God. So that when we believe upon Him, He has taken the wrath that we deserve because of our unrighteousness, and the Holy Spirit then bestows upon us that righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's imputed to us so that we're righteous in Him. When we wake up in the morning, do we really take up the cross and think of how it is that God would love us and what it means for us to no longer have to walk around with our shoulders hunched over, oh, how wicked a sinner I am. But praise be to God that I walk in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy His love. And how else did Jesus glorify His Father when He was here on this earth? Well, He glorified His Father by living by every word that proceeded from His Father's mouth. It was His food. It was His bread. It was His delight. It's what sustained Him when He was hungry in the wilderness. It was the Scriptures. It was the Scriptures that sustained Him. Not my will. Let Yours be done. That staccato. That prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so how do we glorify God? With that glory given to Him. Oh, how I love Your law. It is my study. Day and night. Thanks be to God, I have no other gods before me. Thanks be to God, I worship Him the way He delights to be worshipped, not the what turns me on. Praise be to God, I can take His name upon my lips in an honorable, reverent way. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You for the first day of the week. Oh, how I love the Lord's day. How I love this day that is set apart from the other 6 days of the week, that enables me to begin to think more and more and more about that great day of the Lord that is to come. When we will be truly separated from the world forever and forever, amen. Drawn unto Him to worship and glorify Him in spirit and in truth, without the encumbrance of sin, without the encumbrance of not yet fully sanctified Bruce Bacenstowe. And then I don't hate. And I don't lust. And I don't take things that aren't mine. Then I know how to speak honorably about other people at all times and not bear false witness. Then I'm no longer prone to idolatry, covetousness. We glorify God. We love our Savior. By keeping His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. That's what 1 John tells us if we're truly in fellowship with the Son. We glorify Him as believers by taking up the cross. We glorify Him as believers by obeying His word. We glorify Him as Jesus glorified the Father. When Jesus was on this earth, by constantly drawing attention away from Himself to the one who sent Him. By constantly reminding people that He's come from the Father in heaven. I'm always impressed with Betty Jean Marks and her little remarks. If you're watching Betty Jean, thank you. This morning after the service, she said there's this little song. Who's your mother? Was asked of Jesus when He was 12 years old. Remember in the temple? My mother, according to the flesh, is Mary. But my Father is in heaven. Do you realize when we recognize in our lives that attention is not to be drawn to ourselves, but to the one who has gifted us and enabled us to do any of those things for which people would honor us? Just as Jesus perpetually drew people's attention to the one who sent Him because He wanted to make sure they understood He's the God-man. They wanted them to understand He was born of the Virgin Mary. When we draw attention away from ourselves, when people want to honor us for the good that we've done, and though we're not Latin scholars, we say soli Deo Gloria. We're glorifying the one in whom our faith rests. Do you believe in Him? Are you glorifying Him and enjoying Him? Of course, when we truly glorifying God and enjoying Him, we will be living as one. Because we will be living as those who truly have Jesus within us. And if we're living as those who truly have Jesus within us, when we come into contact with others who say they believe in Jesus, what are we going to look for in them? Jesus. And what are we going to encourage them to be like? Jesus. And we're going to begin to understand the oneness that we enjoy in each other because we together have Jesus in us. Yes, our doctrine of Jesus matters. We need to understand who Jesus is aright. But once people speak of Jesus who was born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, buried, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, and confess him as Lord, believing in her heart that he was raised from the dead, we need to say we are one. Not only does Jesus pray for our oneness by giving us the glory given him to enable us to take up the cross daily, to obey lovingly, and to show forth Jesus. He also prays that we would be with him. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Isn't this a reminder to us of those words that we often hear at a memorial service or a funeral service? Those words we find in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Remember how that chapter begins? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, what he promises us when our hearts are troubled, when he promises us when our hearts are troubled, believe in me. Why? Because I'm going to a place, to the cross, to secure for you residence in the new heaven and the new earth. And so Jesus, because of the promise he makes us, is there before the Father, interceding for us, that we would one day be with him. Do you understand that? We talk about total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. We will persevere because Jesus is praying that that's what will happen in our lives. Because he wants us to be where he is, in the glorious presence of his Father. And to what end? To what end? We've seen what it is that Jesus prays for us. Now we notice what becomes true of us doesn't end there. But we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this passage tells us are billboards for Jesus Christ, the Father and the Spirit. Listen again to verse 21 and verse 24. That the world may believe that you sent me, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. Here it is. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus is praying for us that we will be billboards for Him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. As we're going through life, He has told us to make disciples. He has told us to be His ambassadors. He has told us to make known from whom Jesus came. In other words, all the other saviors that all the religions of this world and that the world wants to offer people that would make us one perish. Because there's only one Savior, and we know that one Savior. He was born of a virgin, because He had to be God and man. Are we faithful in setting forth Jesus as the virgin-born Savior of men and nations? As the God-man, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Son of God. And do we show the love that the Father had for the Son that has been lavished upon us through the salvation that has been secured for us? Do people recognize in us our daily gratitude for the great love of God that we have upon us because of Jesus? Because of what Jesus did for us and is even now doing for us. How well are we showing forth that Jesus has come from the Father? That He is the God-man before a watching world. How well are we showing forth the love of the Father for the Son before a watching world? As we come to the Lord's table to partake of the elements, let's remember the words of Jesus, as John recorded them in the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 51. John chapter 6, verse 51 and following. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. But he who eats this bread will live forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus. Our hearts overflow with gratitude. May you pray for us. What a high priest you are. Oh, Father. Thank you that you hear your Son. Thank you that you hear him praying for us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for coming and living within us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in all that you are, living within us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we don't quench you, but give you recourse in our lives, that your fruit is manifested such that we love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, Father. Oh, Son. Oh, Holy Spirit. Thank you for so great a salvation. But most of all, Jesus, for your faithful praying for us, day in and day out, in all eternity. May we be faithful billboards, as once again this morning when we partake of these elements, we'll be reminded that in doing so we proclaim your death, Jesus, until you come. In Jesus' name we pray, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen.